You're listening to the BBS Radio Network, and this is Between Two Worlds with Derek White Skycloud, healer, author, shaman, paranormal investigator. Stay tuned for Between Two Worlds.
Hello, everybody. This is Derek White Sky Cloud, and you listen to Between Two Worlds on BBSRadio.com. It is a beautiful, wet day here in British Columbia, here in Canada. It's October 16th, Tuesday night, 8 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. Tonight, we're going to bring in a special guest. Her name is Joanne Giroux. Now, most of you who know who she is, Joanne works. My understanding of the way I always like to say Joanne is part of the healing field. She's almost like, I will always call her the medical intuitive, but she's been working with a lot of the earth medicines since she's a little girl. And I'm going to get Joanne to tell her story about herself when she was young growing up and what made her decide to get into this kind of program of life. And also I'd like to acknowledge the fact that we want to say hello to our people on the chat rooms here in BBS Radio as well as Pal Talk. We'd like to thank you and welcome you all for listening in and chatting. If you have any questions you want to ask, please feel free to call. We also have the phone numbers for you to call in. Those who want to call and ask questions, please call in. It's toll free. In the U.S., it's 877-876-5227. That's for the U.S., 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's toll-free, guys. Please call in, 888-815-9756. It's 888-815-9756. And those who are calling in, the international line is 530-876-3222. That's 530-876-3222. What we're talking about this night, this time, is we're going to be talking about alternative medicines, alternative types of healing. A lot of people have illnesses they're trying to figure out themselves about their lives and what they can do to help fix it. And this is basically what we want to share with you. Now, I actually have a magazine in here in front of me, and in Health Canada, they're causing a little bit more of a conditioned, what they call the laws, the bylaws, and where basically a lot of us out there have to fight back and having to say, you know, we don't agree with what the government's doing to us. But they're pretty well using almost every vitamin you can think of. They want to make it to where we cannot use that vitamin as going to the store and buying it and say, here, I can take this vitamin B for my cold, and or the vitamin C, or I need a vitamin D. A lot of the doctors, a lot of the industry right now in Canada here, and probably most likely in the United States, wants you to actually to get a prescription. Because basically it comes to the point they're going to actually prescribe these herbs to you, and they don't want us out there to really share the story. But here's, we have a magazine called the Natural Health Action, and it's located here in Canada, here in BC. So if you guys actually are interested in getting this magazine, it's worth your while. I'll actually share that with you. But according to Health Canada Schedule Section 3, no person shall sell any food, drug, cosmetic, or device that is represented by a label or that the person advertises to the public, general public, as a treatment, preventative, or cure of any of the diseases, disorders, or abnormal physical states referred to in the Schedule A. Well, we call it Schedule A. Schedule A is a long list of conditions that are supposedly untreatable, including arthritis, asthma, cancer, depression, diabetes, gout, heart disease, and obesity. So if anyone offers prevention or treatment for these, and they are, according to the Canadian government, committing to fraud. In other words, the government long ago decided that these conditions were incurable by law, which means they control us, They control them, and they control us. And this is something that I always like to talk about because, yes, we like to step on toes once in a while. But, and I know Joanne does not like talking about it once in a while. But we actually need to share with the public what's going on in our lives. And this is basically what we always need to turn to is actually alternative herbs in our own gardens. You know, our food is in our gardens, and it's in the trees. And so sometimes we don't always have to go to the store or go to the doctor. So without no further ado, we have Joanne Giroux.
Hi, folks.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I'm glad I have you back on my show. And it's all, you know, I always have fun talking about alternative medicines and alternative healing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're going into the cold seasons. Now, a lot of people, they're asking questions here like, how do you tell the difference between cold, flu, viruses, and from the food allergies?
Well,
do you know any difference on that one?
Yeah. Food allergies. Yeah, you did say food allergies, right?
Yeah, food allergies. I said food allergies. Is there a difference between cold, flu, viruses to flu? Like some people think that there's actually a flu, what you call it, a food virus compared to a flu virus.
Yeah, there could be. I have no idea. The outcome is the same. It's actually quite difficult to tell. Usually what I advise people to do is, well, first of all, let's change the whole vocabulary around on the show, and that kind of covers all aspects. I consider pharmaceutical medicine alternative medicine because that wasn't the original. The original medicine is from God's pharmacy. So as far as I'm concerned, when they're talking alternative medicine, they're talking about pharmaceuticals in my mind. Does that make sense?
Makes sense.
Yeah. So we'll call them the alternatives, all right? And we'll call us the norm. Basically, what I always suggest people do is fall and spring is really good time to do a cleanse.
Yeah.
And your thymus is responsible for activating your T cells of your immune system, and your colon is responsible for reading the chemical frequency that the T cells send down to your B cells. So your T cells send this little transmitting chemical to your B cells to tell them to activate when you're, you know, contacting a virus and a bacteria. Bacteria, they always accompany a virus. It's just a given. So if your colon is a mess, your B cells are not going to get the message. So it's always really good to start, you know, in the fall to do, and I'm not talking the pucum purgum cleanse. I'm just talking, you know, start with your colon, go to your kidneys, then do your pancreas, your liver, your gall, and your spleen. And do it gently and do it over time. Another good preventative is taking an antiviral maybe every couple of weeks. Go on an antiviral for a week. Make sure that your food, your diet is balanced and that you're getting enough sleep. And if anybody in your office or store or wherever you work is walking around sneezing into their hands, make sure you remind them to wash their hands because everything they touch is going to carry whatever they've got.
Yeah.
Another thing to remember is, for example, a 24-hour stomach flu. when you're, you know, talking to Ralph and both ends are working and you're not getting a reprieve, that's when you're in the healing stage, okay? We usually carry a virus and have absolutely no symptoms. And when you get sick, that's the healing that the body's going through because the body has recognized the virus. And unfortunately, sometimes that healing process can take a long time. Now, if that process takes too long, then, you know, automatically you need to do a cleanse. You need to clean your system and boost your immune system because a healing from a viral, whether it's a cold, whether it's a flu, it shouldn't take for weeks and weeks. I get calls from people that, you know, they said, I've been sick off and on for 3 months. Well, that's just not right, you know. It shouldn't have to go on that much or that long.
So So basically, they're not taking care of themselves. They're making themselves think that they're still sick or knowing that they're still sick, but they're not doing really much about it.
Yeah, yeah.
If you think about it, most of them always think they have to use a vitamin C or vitamin B, or they'll take a cough medicine or take a flu virus medicine off the shelf, and they think it's going to cure them. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, the body will heal itself if it's clean enough, and second of all, if you feed it the right stuff. Like, I mean, A's, blood type A, and I believe blood type B and AB are okay with echinacea, but O's are not. O's are much better with astragalus, but I believe, and I could be totally wrong here. Check it out. Check for your own blood type. It's called being responsible for your own, you know, medicine chest, so to speak. Astragalus, I believe, is good for everybody, but I could be wrong on that. And astragalus, what that does is it goes right into the bone marrow where the cells are produced,
yep.
And it helps to produce the immune cells. So what you're looking for is, number one, you're looking to make sure that you've got a clean lymphatic system. You're looking for something that's going to boost your immune system and derail phlegm. So
yeah.
There's astragalus, there's mullein, there's usnea. Burdock root over a long period of time is not good for O blood types, but it's a really good blood cleanser. I always say keep it simple, but keep it effective. And I think the reason that people get so sick in the winter, especially on the wet coast here, is because we severely lack sunshine. And the spleen is an organ that nobody really pays any attention to, but it is very, very important for digestion, for your immune system, and for overall health. And the spleen actually receives its nourishment from the sun. And over here in BC, well, the southern BC, we don't get a lot of sun in the wintertime. So it's really helpful to clean the spleen going into the winter and get as much outdoor time as possible. Even in the rain, you're still getting a little bit of UV rays, which is very helpful to the body. So
yeah.
Taking a vitamin D would probably help. A good way to get your iron, to keep your iron level up, is to just cook very slowly in cast iron cookware.
Now, do we have spleen? You mentioned it before. You and I talked about this a while back, but share this with the public. We actually do have a spleen cleansing.
Yeah.
Most people don't. You said most people don't do spleen cleansing.
No. Very few people actually have anything that cleans the spleen. I have a spleen tonic, and it is the worst tasting thing on this planet, but it works. The bitter herbs never taste good, and I think through the Industrial Revolution and our technocracy, so to speak, our taste buds have been altered severely to like nice tasting things. I get people all the time going, "Is it going to taste bad?" Well, who cares? If it works, just take it. You
now,
know?
I got someone here asking a question right now, and that person is saying that they have a lymphatic infection, and they've never had this before in their life. They're asking, what can they do with that?
Take a good lymph cleanse. The herbs are cleavers, burdock root, poke root, and golden seal, and they can take some astragalus, too.
So they can go to their nearest health food store. And can they find that in a lymphatic,
they can email me.
Or they have to do it in parts?
Well, very few, and nobody else makes it.
Or do they order it from you?
Yeah, that would be a good idea.
Oh, okay. So you're better off. Anybody who's interested in any kind of herbs they need themselves, specifically for any type of infection or illness, please contact Joanne Giroux. Now, she has a website. It's under Wild Woman Herbs. .com, that's WILDWOMANHERBS.com. You want to email her, she will chat with you back. And if there's anything you need to ask questions about, she'd love to chat with you and help you on your way. Even if you're out of the country, she'll still give you advice. So if you need that, just give her a call because she does ship out her products. Now, there's another person just asked us now, and in the chat room they're asking the question, what foods does Joanne eat?
What do I eat?
Yeah.
Good one. I eat according to my blood type. I'm a blood type O. and I do eat according to my blood type as closely as I can. Rule of thumb, like a lot of people in the industry will say, and scientists are very good at saying this too, eating according to your blood type is only a theory. Well, as far as I'm concerned, it's a darn good theory, and I've seen it work for 20 years. Now, most people that are overweight, their digestion is impaired, and I can guarantee you they're a blood type A, and they're lacking hydrochloric acid. Hydrochloric acid is responsible for your pyloric valve opening and closing. And weight gain is because of toxic material. So your food is not processing properly. It is going rancid, and your body's absorbing toxins, and it inflames through fat cells to keep the toxins out of your blood. That's the long and short of it. But basically, if you eat two-thirds according to your blood type and one-third of the, you know, not so great for your blood type, you'll still make it through. You're okay. Because it's really hard to live in a glass bubble. So I generally eat as many organic vegetables as I possibly can.
But you're growing your own in your backyard.
Yeah.
And you're out in the bush. You pick what you need there.
Yeah. I eat a lot of roots and berries.
A lot of people live in the city, and they don't have that many things to turn to. But they need to really look for fresh more often than actually have to find things that are frozen. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Do as many fresh vegetables. And eat according to the seasons. Eat your fall vegetables in the winter. Lay off the citrus fruits. Like, you can get your, I know, it's not really that great to get your vitamin C in capsule form. But don't overdo it. And keep the acidic fruits down to a dull roar. Oranges are really, really acidic, and they're highly overrated for the benefit of people. And orange juice is, I've never really seen anybody benefit from that. Because when your bloodstream, if it's alkaline, you're not going to get sick.
Uh-huh.
That's the bottom line. Disease grows in an acidic body. And you can go to a health food store and you can buy the little saliva test strips and test your saliva. And there's a really good product out. I have yet to see anything better than this. And it's put out by Vaxa. And
yep.
Vaxa is in Florida, I believe, and it's harder and harder for us to get the products up here. But it's called the pH Buffer. And for 1 month, you take 6 a day and away from meals because they're homeopathics. And at the end of 1 month, you go onto your second bottle and you do 2 a day, usually 2 before bed. And
yep.
That keeps you at a point about 7.0, 7.2 on the acid alkaline scale. And anybody that remains alkaline, I've seen cancer disappear, MS disappear, a whole pile of stuff, and people don't get sick. I very, very seldom get anything, very seldom. And if I do get anything, it's because I'm severely overtired. But, yeah.
Now, they're also asking what type of meat do you eat?
I eat free-range buffalo, which I get from a ranch in Alberta. And I eat beef. Yeah, I eat chicken. I eat salmon, cod, red snapper. You know, I have a variety.
So you can actually eat beef yourself?
Oh, yeah. Oh, O's are carnivores. We are hunter-gatherers, primal, original blood type.
I'm an A-negative. I can't eat beef.
No, you can't. No, you do really well on turkey.
Yeah,
and
I eat lots of it, but I'm also I do love my fast food. That's deer and buffalo.
Uh huh. That's because you got to drive to catch up to them.
Yeah, I caught up to one, didn't I?
Yep, you did. Well, you
but
know,
I didn't take it home.
That's why you got the horns on the front of your truck. I get it.
Yeah, I got horns as well.
No, but even A's, you know, buffalo is more beneficial to an A than beef is. Deer, moose, you know, any of the wild game, it's not as acidic because when you look at what these animals eat, everything they eat is alkaline. Okay?
Yeah.
They're not chomping down on grains. They're not chomping down on hormones. They're just eating the greens, and all those are alkaline, or most of them are.
Yeah.
So if you're an A or a B, chances are you'll get away with wild game. Buffalo's next on the list. But the thing is, everything in moderation, right?
Yeah. Actually, I just came home with some smoked moose, and that was really good.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And
this is
my wife,
like a nice moose roast.
I stunk up the house.
Uh-huh.
So that was moose hunting. Now, I got someone here who tells me there are B+. Is there a B+?
Yeah, I just go by A, B, A, B, and O. A B?
B, so what's a B
actually stands for the
positive, should say.
Because B can, bees can tolerate just about everything. A little bit of everything. They do actually very well on cheese. Not too much dairy, but they do well on cheese.
So they can actually tolerate their ex-husbands, too.
Yeah, totally. Totally. Yeah, husbands. They, bees actually, yeah, a friend of mine is a bee. I have lots of friends that are bees, and they go, yep, bees are the best, man, because they can have a little bit of everything. But, you know, even online, you know, I have charts for blood types, but there's also the book Eat Right for Your Blood Type, and it's always online, too. You can go online and Eat Right for Your Blood Type, Blood Type B, just type
Which
that
reminds
in.
Me, there's actually a another book they just released called Eat for Your Blood Type.
Yeah.
A brand new, this third volume out now. I just saw it on the shelf. I think it's been out for the last couple of months, called Eat for Your Blood Type.
Yeah.
So it also relates to even children, and which is totally different to the adult. I was reading some parts of it, which basically the A-negative child is not the same type of consumption as the A-negative adult.
Yeah.
Which actually was quite surprised. I thought it would be all the same, but it's not.
No, it's not. And, you know, and we're all O's in our family. And O-type, it's an interesting book because he goes into vaccines and he goes into the history of the blood types. Like, this man has done an awful lot of research. And one thing I found very, very interesting was O-type children. I don't think any kid should be vaccinated, but that's beside the point. O-type children should never be vaccinated because they don't have any antigens. And antigens are very, very important in warding off viruses. You'll find when an O blood type person gets a flu, we are, like, really sick. My son is a prime example, man. If you want to look up at close-up dead, I tell you, for a day, he's just, like, most people would cast him off as, you know, they'd be calling the morgue already. I know what he's like. He just crashes, and then the next day, he's not too bad, and the following day, he's fine. A's, it will linger on and on and on and on. B's, it can linger also, but that's because they have the antigens that are actually fighting the virus, and it takes its time leaving. But O's will generally just crash. Crash. They get hit pretty hard with it. And that's because we don't have any antigens attached to our blood.
Now, I was reading a part here regarding the vitamin D that actually is considered as a, what's called an anti-cancer preventative.
Yeah.
How often do we take it?
Take
it all our through the every 365 days a year, or do we take it?
Just in the months that we're compromised with sunlight. Your best dose of vitamin D is actually in the summertime. I mean, all vitamin D Souls is, of course, synthetic, but it's better than nothing. And I would just take it during the winter, unless you're really a person that doesn't get out much. But even in the summertime to sunbathe, you know, you use your own.
Here's another part. I mean, here are people actually talk about, you know, you shouldn't be outside in the sun because it's going to give you cancer. I mean, here's that fear mode doctors tell you.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that one?
No, I don't believe a minute of it. It depends. If you're going to lay there till you're burnt, like, to a crisp, you know, that's just sad. That's really not healthy. But, you know, even with people with high cholesterol, the best thing for them to do is sunbathe during the heat of the day to body tolerance. Like I said, don't burn. But when you're sweating and you're perspiring, all that stuff is coming out of your body, and the sun's rays will automatically convert it to vitamin D.
They're also asking here about cereal products. What type of grains would benefit people? Is that the better time in the having in the morning? Is your grains, or do you have your grains
all
day.
You can
have greens
any time of the day, actually, but, you know, O blood types are better on spelt and kamut. Very few. You know, wheat, spelt and kamut are ancient wheats. They're the ancient grains. And I think, you know, anything that is exploited as much as wheat has been is actually, it loses its frequency. You know, the stuff, I mean, when you look at the power of a little granule of wheat and you plant that, and in a few days it's inches high, and in a week, you know, it's 4 feet tall. Like, it's absolutely incredible, the power of wheat. And where people are running into problems is the mold. It's when they wash the grains, they don't dry them properly because of the high demand and the rush concept. And there's a lot of mold in the wheat. And there's a lot less mold. And, I mean, usually people, if they eat the organic wheat sold in health food stores, there's very little mold in it, especially the red hard wheat, because it's just really, really carefully done. And then you can grind your own. Sprouted wheat is okay. Sprouted wheat doesn't have any mold in it. Like Ezekiel bread is pretty good for all blood types. But it's, you know, the highly processed stuff is really hard on the body, because the more processed stuff is, the harder it is for your body to assimilate, because there's not enough enzymes in it.
What about sugar? Now, let's talk about, I actually wanted to talk about this subject. We have processed sugars, and we have natural sugars.
Mm-hmm.
I got some friends that I know that actually, they use some of the packaged sugars that are in little baggies. And do you find that, especially if you're diabetic, do you think that they should use that, or should use try other alternatives that would be better?
No, for diabetics, you should take stevia. Stevia is actually an annual herb, and when you dry it, it's 300 times sweeter than sugar, but it's not a sugar.
What about the little packaged sugars, like your, what do you call the...
Oh, Linda and all that other crap?
Oh, we have a caller.
Okay.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi, Derek.
Hi.
My name's Dawn. I'm calling from Michigan.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm actually kind of ill, but I'm doing okay.
Okay. What's your question you want to ask, my dear, regarding your illness?
I don't know. I just have a really high fever, and I'm never up on Tuesday nights, but my coworker gave me this number to call because she told me kind of what you do, and I just think there must be a reason why I'm ill and I'm up this late so I can talk to you.
Well, that's good.
Good analogy.
Okay, so basically, what are your symptoms you're dealing with right now as far as you're saying you're ill?
Well, I just had, like, a fever of, like, 101.9 and body aches and everything. I think
so it sounds like you got a beginning of a flu.
Yeah, I think
she's at the end of it.
She's at the end of it?
Yeah, that's her body trying to recover. Drink lots of water.
Okay.
Draw lots of water. And you don't have to drink cold water. The body does not absorb cold water. So,
oh, okay.
You know, hot water, add some lemon to it. What blood type are you, do you know?
I have no idea.
Okay.
It's red.
Red.
It's red.
Good one. Yeah, lemon you should be okay on. A little bit of lemon, maybe some ginger. Ginger
okay.
helps you to perspire and release the fever. But remember that a fever is actually good, and 101 isn't all that bad. What it's doing is your body is actually fighting any kind of infection that might be trying to start, right?
What about the oil of oregano? Would that actually help to the remaining of the killing the bacteria?
Yeah, oil of oregano, colloidal silver, anything like that.
Oh, yeah, colloidal silver. I've had that before.
Yeah, colloidal silver is good for viruses and bacteria, and oil of oregano, if you can get it down, you're doing good.
What you do, my dear, is you just take about 3 or 4 drops, either on your tongue or in a small little short glass of water, and just drink it down and do about 3 or 4 times a day. And it works as an antibacterial. It starts to kill the bacteria that you don't want.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it'll also help you build up your immune system a little bit more.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I have a question about client that I had that passed away.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I know that sometimes people can come through to you, and I don't. I've been struggling with her loss for quite some time.
Okay, so you're asking me to find out if I'm making contact with this person?
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't there yet.
I wasn't there yet.
Actually, to be honest with you, my dear, I'm not trying to channel this at the moment because we're trying to use this as a health show, but if you can email me or phone me, and I'll chat with you regarding that one after we do the show.
Okay.
How's that sound?
Okay.
Okay.
Should I call you at this number?
No, call me on my, go to my website.
Okay.
At whiteskycloud.com.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll get the phone number in there, and
okay.
You can give me a call, and I'll chat with you. We can talk about that.
Okay, great.
Okay?
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay,
bye-bye. Bye-bye. You know, here's something else. Here's the word that I wanted to get out of my head was aspartame. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, aspartame's a very interesting thing. The production of aspartame is actually funded by the Canadian Diabetes Association. They're one of the leading sponsors for aspartame. And aspartame actually changes as soon as it reaches body temperature. Once you've consumed it, it turns to a wood alcohol. Wood alcohol goes directly into the brain and starts to destroy brain cells, and it also starts to eat away on your pancreas.
You know, I just found out.
Pardon me?
You know what I just found out last night?
What?
I did some research on aspartame, and I just found out that it was actually made in the lab to be used specifically as a rat poison.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah, because it turns to a wood alcohol.
Yeah, so yeah. What someone did by accident is tasting it, it said it tastes like sugar, and then they decided to use it as a sugar replacement.
Yeah,
so,
and it's in all the diet pops and everything else. And, like, I mean, it's like telling a diabetic to shoot themselves in the foot, you know?
They're also asking about Splenda. What do you think about Splenda?
Nah, I wouldn't go near any of that stuff.
Again, it's chemically made?
Well, Splenda, I'm not sure. I'm really not sure. A friend of mine was using it and then gave it up for stevia, and she does a lot of research into that stuff. Splenda, I think, is a molecule used, one of the glucosides from sugar. So I don't believe it's as deadly as aspartame. But
okay.
I would just generally use stevia because you use a lot less. Now, if you use a lot of stevia, you're going to get a licorice aftertaste in your mouth because it does have that.
Oh, that's definitely a big, but it's still part of the sugar.
Yeah, but it's not a sugar, and it's just
natural,
a very sweet herb.
Natural.
Yeah, you can bake with it. I make jam with it. I do everything with it. We consume very little sugar here. If we do, it's just raw cane sugar.
Yeah. Okay, that makes a lot of sense. Now, because, like I said before, regarding we talked about the aspartame, and when they said that they are actually, the government itself or the scientists were experimenting and make a rat poison, I thought, oh, my God, when they're and here we are being experimented on to use to be basically where the trials and errors. You know, if anyone gets sick by trying to see what it tastes like or see what our thoughts are, I find that rather sickening. I mean, hard to accept or to deal with. We're trying to get out of this chemically made GMO attitude, and I think there's actually a lot more people more aware of it now. It's not like it used to be 10, 20 years ago. When you hear the word GMO, going like, yeah, you know what you're talking about. But there's a lot more people there right now that are far more aware of what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And yet you still don't have those whistleblowers out there, you know, not strong enough at least to tell the government, say, you know, listen to us. We know what we're talking about. We know what we're doing, but you're still trying to tell us we don't know.
Well, you're talking, you know, a whole system that is working on dark energy, as far as I'm concerned. They bloody well know what, you know, they run clinical trials. Well, the general public is the clinical trial.
Yeah.
You know, the heck with these controlled clinical trials. Controlled just means they got 5 or 6 people doing this thing. But a typical clinical trial, as far as I'm concerned, is let's experiment on the public. Now, you know, It's money generated. Last month, I think, in Common Ground, they were talking about the author of the article actually went into Parliament here in Canada and went to Ottawa and was talking to various MPs. And one MP said, I don't know what it is about all this health stuff. Half the Senate lives on it. All of Parliament uses it. So apparently, and we'd all be dead without it, so apparently it's not a health issue. Now is it?
Yeah.
So he blatantly just said, it's a money thing. And, you know, these money-grabbing blankety-blanks, you know,
yeah.
They're playing with the well-being, the mind, the trust, the soul, and the health of everybody. And we elect these jerks. And,
yeah.
Like, where is the accountability? Like, if you and I ever committed a crime, nuts, they'd lock us away for life. Throw away the key.
Well, you think about it, my dear. Here's one way that I always tell people, and this is how it works. You're not hiring a doctor or doctors in a committee to say that they are the health committee. These people that are being hired are guys that are businessmen, and they are just profiteers.
Oh, yeah, totally.
This is what we have in Canada and the United States and across the world. They're profiteers. They're just there to make money. And so they try to get these bylaws or any kind of laws passed through their own federal government. And we'll use, for example, use McDonald's as a name, where when people complain about children becoming obese and they decide to sue McDonald's, a variety of people suing McDonald's for because of their complaining saying their children are obese because of their food, McDonald's got smart and they decided to approach the bill, make a bill that you cannot sue the restaurant.
Yeah.
You cannot sue the chain because even if their children are becoming obese, but yet... You can take a plate of French fries made by McDonald's and two other brands from other restaurants, let them sit there for a month. And those out of those three, two will mold, and the one that will not is McDonald's.
That's
it will
they're
still
all,
taste like
that's they're dipped in sugar.
And what does that tell you? Because it's so well-preserved, that's what it does to us. And that's why we're so hooked on these McDonald's burgers and McDonald's fries. And, I mean, you think about this guy who did the video, the documentary about McDonald's, Super Size Me.
Mm-hmm.
This guy was, within a month, he was sick.
Oh, yeah,
he
yeah,
put on
yeah.
a lot of weight.
Yeah.
But he's eating the meal three times a day.
He almost ended up with a Hep C-type condition.
He did.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's, I mean... Yeah, I don't know. And the reason you cannot sue them is because they are in compliant with government regulations. And if any of those food chains are in compliance with government regulations, that basically tells you what the government regulations are in place for profit, 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 and more profit. They
okay.
don't give a hoot what happens to the general public.
I got someone online here that wants to share what they've read or actually are involved in. Actually, I know someone quite well who's involved in health food or having to take care of this to share awareness of health in the public. And this person I know works for the government, so I would believe this quite well. She says that Senator Howard Metzenbaum wrote and presented a bill that would require label warnings on products containing aspartame, especially regarding pregnant women, children, and infants. The bill would also institute independent studies on the known dangers and the problems existing in the general population regarding seizures, changes in brain chemistry, neurological changes, and behavioral systems symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
I find it that, you know, whether you use aspartame or if you use other types of natural-made product, why are we still eating it?
I have no idea.
They've got potato chips on the shelf. They've got peanuts on the shelf. They've got all kinds of products on the shelves, including cereals.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them have chocolate and a lot of sugars in it.
Yeah, I don't know where the logic is. I don't even know. Like, I mean, they're going to sell it if people are going to buy it.
Yes.
And I guess a lot of people are so busy, they'll just feed their kid anything just to shut them up and get them out the door in the morning. But the bottom line is, somebody's going to pay the price later on. And, you know, nothing good comes out of this. And you start, like, I mean, children that are breastfed, that's fine. And then you gradually introduce foods. And you know, the guidelines are quite different now than when my kids were little about what you should feed them by, you know, so many months, et cetera, et cetera. But, I mean, why even introduce them to sugar? And if you're going to, if they're going to have, like, I mean, you can't live in a glass bubble. They're going to go to a birthday party and have ice cream cake. Well, it better be real ice cream, because if it's not, it's a petroleum byproduct, and that turns to wood alcohol also when it hits your brain.
I mean, we do have yogurts.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll talk about raw milk. I mean, there's something else that which I find is even more interesting is raw milk.
My kids were raised on it.
I was raised on it. Never affected me.
No.
I was drinking it like it was going out of style, but, you know, when I bought that quart of milk in the store, I was sick.
Yeah, and that's because, you know, they pasteurize and pasteurize and pasteurize, and there's still 80,000 different types of strain of bacteria in that milk that they cannot kill.
But it's what they put back into it is when they, whatever they take out, they say we put them back into this. They'll never tell you exactly what they put back in, because there's more things in it that milk should not have.
Yeah, and when you pasteurize it, it alters the molecular structure also, and the molecular structure is so big that the human body can't even do anything with it.
Because it really, if you think about it, it really screws up our molecular structure, and that's why, especially, for example, a lot of women have a hard time digesting the milk, because you hear that gurgling sound in your stomach, and you think, okay, well, maybe I'm still hungry.
Yeah.
And that really is what the milk product does.
Oh, yeah. And then they say, well, you're lactose intolerant. Well, the less dairy you eat, the less lactose your body produces, because it's an enzyme, and if it doesn't have a call for it, it won't produce it, right? So good idea to take a lactase, you know, enzyme. However, we are the only ones on the planet that will continue to consume milk long after we have been weaned. And they talk about calcium. Forget it, you know. You're not even going to absorb the calcium from milk. What? There's more calcium in a tiny stalk of broccoli than there is in a 4-liter jug of milk. So,
yep.
You know, and our soil is so calcium, bogged down by calcium. Calcium is the old bones of previous civilizations, as well as dinosaurs and there. That's where our calcium's coming from. And it is it's a very, very heavy mineral. And it just stays in the soil, and all our food is saturated with calcium. So I don't know why we have such a calcium-deficient society, except for the fact that nobody's taking straight magnesium. So when your blood gives off 9,000 milligrams of calcium a day, or no, sorry, your bones give off 9,000 milligrams of calcium a day for your blood to clean, people generally only reabsorb 3,000 milligrams of that. So you got 6,000 milligrams of calcium floating around looking for a place to go. Now, the magnesium keeps our bones porous and supple and all our organs supple in so that they can reabsorb calcium. But without magnesium, the calcium, that's what osteo is. The calcium sits on the outside of the bones, and your bones become very, very hollow. And it can be very, very painful, because you get all these globs of calcium all through your body. That's what kidney stones are, bladder stones. Hardening of the bladder is really, really hard. A 30-year-old woman that I've heard of through somebody else just had a heart attack.
Yeah.
Well, she's not overweight. She's, you know, fairly well. She exercises, yada, yada. She's calcium dominant. That's why athletes drop dead on the racetrack. They're calcium dominant. Their heart is so hard, it can't expand.
I had another client, just recently, a couple of days ago, was 23 years old, ended up having a heart attack and ended up in the hospital.
Yeah.
Young man, young male, and I was actually quite shocked to hear that he was in the hospital.
Yeah.
But he had the heart attack, and they said his arteries were so plugged up. Well,
yeah.
I asked him, what was the type of foods that he used to eat a lot? And they said, well, he was quite athletic, but when he was in a hurry to go somewhere, he'd go to McDonald's or Wendy's or, you know, a fast food place in the lunchtime to eat. But at night, he would go out and he would never stay at home. He would never eat home natural foods. He would actually go out dinners with friends or whatever have you. But the most times that he would always put together was a Coca-Cola and a chocolate bar.
Uh-huh.
What does that tell you?
Well, Coke actually probably cleans the arteries if it takes rust off cars. But he's also calcium dominant. He doesn't have enough minerals in his body to absorb anything, and that's where you get the hardening of the arteries, and you get the cholesterol buildup. And when that cholesterol goes rancid, it goes yeasty. And then you get your entire body is consumed with yeast. And so picture a heart and all these arteries with all this yeast just sitting there bubbling away, bubbling away. Well, eventually something's going to shut down.
And there's
so
also another person that's also mentioned here, too, that they were told that their doctor told them that if you're in a diabetic clinic, they are saying that they said that the artificial sugars are better for you than the real sugars.
Right.
In a sense, I mean, they're trying to put something together and say, oh, I know what they're talking about, diabetic sugars. They're trying to say that diabetic sugars are better for you than natural sugars.
Yeah, right.
Including chocolate bars. I mean, that's ridiculous. I mean, my understanding of chocolate bar is dark chocolate. Dark chocolate is the best thing for you to have.
Well, for O blood types, yeah. Not for A's.
Oh, yeah, for me.
Yeah?
Sure.
It just says out. It says on the blood chart just
yep,
for Derek.
Yeah, I can have dark chocolate.
Oh, can you?
Yeah.
Okay. My mistake.
I'm so powerful when I have dark chocolate.
I'll remember that one.
There are so many things that happen now, and we're so caught up in everything that's salted, everything that's sugared.
Well, you know, diabetes is an interesting disease. What is prohibiting this pancreas from working right? And every book I've ever read by anybody that's ever studied it said everybody that has diabetes, one or two, has a pancreatic fluke. And what that fluke, when it gets in there, it disturbs the insulin balance and prohibits the pancreas from working. So if anybody's heading down the garden path towards diabetes, I would strongly suggest buying a zapper. Go online and look at the Hulda Clark zappers. They're not that expensive, and the instructions are come with them. And zap, because number one, it'll kill off fungus. It'll kill off extra bacteria that you don't need, and it'll kill off flukes. And unfortunately, flukes that get into the heart, the lungs, the pancreas, liver, et cetera, are very seldom killed off by remedies. And the only way they can actually get killed off is through vibratory methods. And buying a simple Hulda Clark zapper usually ends up, you can actually destroy the flukes. And once the flukes have disappeared, you can actually, your pancreas will start to revive. That doesn't mean all diabetics jump off the program that they're on. That just means that you work on this gradually. Everything in moderation. And also, diabetes is also, caused by an emotional disorder, and it can be cell memory from generations gone by. But it's basically bitterness, anger and bitterness. Whether it's your own or whether it was in the ancestral line, who knows? Only you'll know for sure. But it is actually associated with bitterness, and the pancreas becomes hard and is unable to see the pleasant things in life.
What can we do for that diabetes?
Well, it depends on the program you're on. I've got a lot of friends that are borderline.
Everybody has to take a pill a day. Or a pill, as many pills a day before they have their meals. So those are beginners of diabetes.
Yeah.
What can we do to help them to make that decision of having to step away from the chemically made drugs and say, well, let's get rid of the A's and just make a cure?
Yeah, well, fenugreek is actually quite good for it. Chromium picolinate regulates sugar. Chromium picolinate is one of the main things. Vanadyl sulfate is very beneficial. And grab some bitter herbs and clean the pancreas.
We also need to build up the immune system as well at the same time, don't we?
Yeah, but above all, zapping. Zapping and cleaning the pancreas and balancing the blood sugar. I know a lot of diabetics that are no longer on medication that are taking chromium picolinate and fenugreek, and it does a phenomenal job of regulating the system.
One thing I'll let everybody else know out there, if you guys actually want to get a hold of Joanne, if you want to ask her any questions, please feel free to call in or to even email her. Go to her website. It's www.wildwomanherbs.com. Now, Joanne, I want to ask you this question. Like, how long have you been doing this work?
Well, I've been out in the industry for about 20 years, but I've worked with herbs since I was 9.
Okay.
That doesn't give my age away. No. I've been in the, like
my
I said,
age.
Okay.
I'm just saying, Joanne's around my age.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're still puppies.
We turned 27 last week, right?
Yeah.
I've been in it a long time. I've been working with herbs a long time, but I've actually been in the industry for about 20 years. 20, 25, give or take a few.
I know a lot of people turn to you for a lot of help. Now, there are other things that people like to turn to you for as well, like some deal with depression.
Oh, yeah.
Any reason why they go through depression so often? Besides, I mean, some people say, well, you know, maybe a doctor tells me I've got ADHD. Doctor tells me I've got bipolar. Doctor tells me I'm schizophrenic. Doctor tells me that I'm crazy. What do I do?
Yeah, I get them all. first of all, what I like to do is figure out, and this goes along a different, totally different line, but I usually try to figure out which race they came into this world with, because different rays are responsible for different disorders. Depression is nothing new. Lifestyle has a lot to do with it, and emotions and stress level. And depression is quite often instigated through a hyper or a hypothyroid, and that's caused by adrenal stress. And the adrenals will stress out to the point where they just don't even function anymore. It's called the HPA axis, which is the hypothalamus pituitary adrenal axis. And that's where a lot of people's aches and pains come from, too. You look at their stress level, you wonder why they're full of aches and pains.
They have
adrenaline.
Shoulder pain, back pain, their fingers are hurting.
Yeah, and it's the adrenaline. It's the constant flow of adrenaline. Like, they say, oh, good stress is healthy for you. Well, I don't know. The body doesn't know the difference between good and bad. It just releases adrenaline. So you're always walking around hyper, and then the bottom, what goes up, has got to come down.
Yeah.
So quite often people that are, go, and then all of a sudden, bang, they're flat out, and they're totally depressed, and this can go on for absolutely years. And a lot of it is thyroid, because they've just burnt their entire system out.
So basically, what we need to look at really is, like, for example, if we have a business of our own, or let's say, for example, we have people who own the BBS radio. I'm going to go with Dawn, for example. I'm going to use Dawn as an example. Dawn and Doug own a BBS radio, our station, and these guys really, what they do is they just end up burning themselves out sometimes and need that rest. What would you advise them to say or to tell them that, what they can do for themselves to help them keep them above themselves, to, you know, give them that extra perk, besides trying to keep the radio program going?
Yeah, well, the logical explanation that nobody can seem to live by is just learn how to balance yourself. But get enough rest. B-complex is a really good vitamin to take. Everybody should be on B-complex. Extra B3 for circulation, because these guys sit around a lot, I would assume.
Yeah.
They need exercise, fresh air, lots of sleep. And but generally, if you eat half decently, take a multivitamin, up your vitamin C, and take a B-complex, it pretty well rounds you out. All vitamins that you can't take vitamins in lieu of food. But what they do is actually enhance the food that you're taking so that your body obtains more nutrients. And usually, and if people are having sleepless nights, it's your subconscious trying to tell you something. If people say, oh, I just don't sleep, I'm so stressed. Well, if you're not sleeping, your subconscious or your superconscious mind is trying to tell you something, and you're heading down the wrong road, and you're going to end up with problems very, very shortly. The body.
So all they're trying to say is that you need to get as much rest as possible instead of wearing yourself sick over, no matter if it's a radio show or no matter if it's any kind of business you're in, you always need to get your rest.
Well, you know, people generally, I'm allergic to worry. I really don't like stress, and I don't like
Thank
worry.
You.
No, I really don't. I don't do well with them, and I haven't really figured out what I should be stressed or worried about.
Yeah.
Because what's more important, like, if you don't have your health, you don't have anything.
We got a minute left. Joanne, is there anything you want to share with the public before we shut her down?
Just, you know, focus on the good. Focus on positive. The immune system, the immune system seems to work better when people are happy and not as stressed. And keep your heart light. You know, what's more important, you know, than yourself and your own family? And a lot of it is outlook in life. It's just plain outlook. Don't take everybody else's problems too seriously. Always step away and help other people that way, but don't get involved, like all your emotions involved, because that's not going to do them any good anyway.
No.
And, just try and keep on top of things, and not by beating your head against a brick wall either. Just, you know, take care of yourself and everything else falls into place.
Yeah, how many bricks do you want?
Yeah, exactly. How hard is your head?
How hard is your head, yeah. Well, I'd like to thank you so much for coming on, Joanne. I basically talked to you into the last couple of days.
I wanted to get
you on the show to really let the public know there is an awareness of taking care of your health. I thank you for coming on, and anybody wants to get a hold of Joanne, she does have a website. It's wildwomanherbs.com, and you can give her a call and let her know what you may need to ask regarding any kind of questions. She doesn't mind talking to you. Joanne, it's great to have you on. We'll talk to you next time. We'll have you back again and again and again.
Oh, goody.
So you take care, and everybody take care of themselves. We will talk to you in next week. In the meantime, between time, that's it. That's Derek White, Sky Cloud with Between Two Worlds Radio. Thanks, guys. Take care of yourselves. Bye.
Good night.